Welcome back to Fit Body Happy Joints. My name is Shannon. Today we are talking about higher intensity cardio. In the past two episodes, we've been diving into the different cardio zones. In episode number 148, I started talking about zone two cardio, which is becoming increasingly popular. We talked about the pros and the cons, if women need zone two cardio, and how resistance training can offer really a lot of the same metabolic benefits that zone two cardio can. So go listen to that episode, because before you add HIIT or zone two cardio, I think women really should get their hypertrophy or muscle building routine down first. Because hypertrophy training or muscle building, especially circuit training, which is what we do in Evlo, is going to provide the bulk of the benefits of both HIIT and zone two cardio, except it will have the huge added benefit of adding more lean mass or skeletal mass to your body. So that was 148. And then episode number 149, we talked about walking and zone three cardio and if walking is enough for cardio. We talked about the benefits of having a walking routine and a hypertrophy routine really as your corner zone. We also talked about why zone three cardio is the place where most people kind of think is the most effective, because it's generally longer workouts that feel harder. They generally burn more calories. You're sweating more. You're breathing in and out through your mouth. But these type of workouts might not be affecting your metabolic flexibility as much as a hypertrophy routine, so a muscle building routine, or a zone two cardio workout. This could be because zone three is a little higher intensity. It's above that zone two. Your heart's beating faster. You are working harder. But that type of cardio is using different fuel sources to power you. So it's no longer stimulating as many type 1 muscle fibers, which the type 1 muscle fibers house most of the mitochondria and therefore will have the biggest impact on your metabolic flexibility. This zone 3 cardio is where most fitness classes tend to leave people. So most of these 45 to 60 minute boot camp spin classes where you're working hard, but it's for a long duration. It's for that 45 to 60 minutes. A lot of times you'll kind of land mostly in this zone three area. So I talked about this more in episode last week. That's episode number 149. So go listen to those two episodes if you're interested in that, preferably in sequence because they kind of build on each other. But just know at the end of this episode, I'll also kind of sum up everything that we've been talking about over these past three episodes. But let's say you're starting with the cornerstone, which I do recommend for people. You have a hypertrophy or muscle building routine and you're walking or you're doing some light movement for about 150 minutes per week. Remember that a hypertrophy routine isn't just lifting weights in like willy-nilly. Like it's not just taking a bunch of random YouTube classes or workouts that you've saved from Instagram or haphazardly following this program and that program and kind of piecing things together. It really does require lots of structure and intention and loading each muscle group specifically. And it involves eating enough protein. So it's very structured and it has to be intentional in order to be beneficial. You also shouldn't feel broken down. A good hypertrophy routine may make your muscles sore from time to time. I've been doing this for years and I still will get sore from time to time, even though it's a lot less than when I first started. But it really shouldn't make you feel like you have to limp around or you feel like you got hit by a truck or you feel like you're like kind of on a hairpin trigger, like you can't bend over to pick something up because you're afraid of throwing out your back. I know I've been there before from overworking, and that's not a sign of a good routine. A hypertrophy routine does take a time commitment because you have to lift for around 4 or more sets per week per muscle group in order to see muscle growth for the most part, especially if you're trained and you've already been exercising. Newbies can you get away with a little bit less than that and still see muscle growth. So that is 4 hard sets for the glutes per week, at least 4 hard sets for the quads, 4 hard sets for the chest, 4 hard sets for the back, et cetera, for each muscle group. So as you could see, this type of routine does take time. Doesn't mean it needs to be a lot of time. Our workouts are, 35 minutes, 4 or 5 times a week, but it does take time and tension and structure. So hypertrophy training is a time commitment, but it's one of those time commitments that is going to have the highest bang for your buck, in my opinion. If you have a good hypertrophy routine, something like Evlo, and you're staying overall active with walking, do you need to add HIIT? Do you need to add that high intensity zone 4, zone 5 work on top of a hypertrophy and walking routine? So that's what we're going to get into today. And then at the end, I kind of want to talk about zone 2 cardio and how that should be prioritized. I want to talk about my suggestions on a hierarchy of priorities if time, interest, and recovery are all constraints for you, which if you're anything like me, you have a busy life. You've got other things going on. Fitness is not your life. We need to make fitness fit into our lives, not the other way around. If we're just looking at the metabolic benefits, so the benefits to our body from a cellular level, which is very, very important, doing a little bit of everything may be best if we're looking at like a quote unquote optimal routine, but that can also be a lot for the average person to recover from and to commit to from a time standpoint. So we'll give you the bottom line up front about HIIT, and then we'll get into the details about VO2 max and things like that. If we're just talking about a time reward scenario, so if we're talking about what's the biggest impact for the amount of time that you're spending, I would likely choose short HIIT workouts over doing a lot of zone 2 cardio. Although lifting will improve VO2 max, which I'll talk about here in a minute, HIIT or high intensity interval training, that zone 4, zone 5, that really difficult cardiovascular training is going to increase your VO2 max the most, more than zone 2 cardio, more than lifting. Now, high intensity interval training or zone 4, zone 5 training may not have as much crossover for cardio endurance, but that might not be as important for the average population unless you're interested in running a race or whatever, in which case cardio endurance might be more important to you. I'm not saying that it's not important, but it just might not be a priority for as many people. We also have to consider what we can recover from. This is something that I think is left out of the discussion with all of these health optimization experts and giving you all of these routines that take a lot of time and take a lot of physical energy. It can be a lot to recover from. If you're doing HIIT and you're doing 3 45 to 60 minute zone 2 cardio sessions and you have a hypertrophy routine, that's a big time chunk and it can be a lot of stress on your body. If you feel like you got hit by a truck after a month or so of doing that type of routine, that's not sustainable. And same with even adding HIIT. Like if you add a little bit of HIIT, which I'm going to talk about how to do today, and you feel like, oh my gosh, I feel horrible. I feel like I'm falling apart. My limbs feel heavy. I feel sore. I feel achy. I feel like I'm not recovering. That's not a sustainable routine. And means we need to back off. Because remember, we have to consider the dosage that you can not only sustain right now, but hopefully sustain ongoing indefinitely. Because when it comes to cardiovascular benefits, when it comes to these higher zone trainings, if you don't use it, you lose it. So it doesn't mean you can't get it back. It just means that we can't view this as a temporary thing. Additionally, shorter HIIT workouts tend to be better when it comes to this zone 5, 4, 5 training, this higher cardio zone. If you're truly in your zone 5 training, which is like all out max effort, you won't be able to sustain that type of effort for longer than maybe like a minute, probably a lot less than that. Zone 4 training is still significantly more challenging than your zone 2 and your zone 3, and may be able to be maintained for like a few minutes at max. And you're breathing out in and out through your mouth. You're probably not able to say many words. This will require a lot of physical effort and will be very fatiguing. So if you're going to these fitness classes that claim to be HIIT, but they're 45 or 60 minutes long, and your intention is, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to get the benefits of doing a HIIT workout, but you're spreading your effort throughout that 45 or 60 minutes, you may not be able to have the juice in you to truly get yourself to that zone 4 or zone 5 training. You might kind of dip in and out of zone 4 or 5, but it would be more beneficial for you to conserve your energy with shorter duration workouts so you can get really high quality effort during those short bursts of intensity. So think about high intensity training as really short workouts. Additionally, not only do we want to think about how long the actual workout is, it's like 15, 20 minutes, it can even be less than that, but thinking about how frequently we're doing it throughout our week. So infrequent HIIT workouts will provide the best results. True HIIT will be stressful on your body, or true kind of that high intensity zone 4, zone 5 max effort training will be stressful on your body. So it's going to require recovery. So 1 to 2 short 15 to 20 minute HIIT sessions per week is really all you need to get the metabolic benefits and to not overdo it. So then you're compromising your recovery. Adding more can have diminished returns because your body will really have a harder time recovering. So my point is, yes, HIIT can be beneficial. And I wanted to discuss all of this before we got into the benefits of HIIT. But when we think about adding HIIT into a routine, we've got to be careful to make sure that you're recovering. You're not adding so much that you feel like you got hit by a truck and then you're going to see diminishing returns, or even you can start to see negative returns. So let's talk about the value in zone 4 or zone 5 training. So that high intensity max effort where you're breathing in and out through your mouth. You probably can't talk, or maybe you can say a word here or there, but it's very difficult. You could not talk in complete sentences. I want to talk about how to do it. And then I want to talk about if you're not in a place where you can add HIIT, maybe you feel like you're not recovering, you don't have time. I want to talk about how lifting can have some of the same benefits as far as a VO2 max perspective. So let's dig into VO2 max to start. What is VO2 max? You might have heard of this. VO2 max is the maximum amount of oxygen that you can use during intense exercise. So what is the maximum amount of oxygen that you can use during intense exercise? This is often a measure of someone's cardiovascular fitness. It's a pretty reliable measure. If you have a higher VO2 max, usually it means you are more fit from a cardiovascular standpoint. Muscle and strength aside, which is very important for your overall fitness, as we know, VO2 max is really kind of a good indicator of how overall fit you are. So why should we care about improving our VO2 max? Why is this something that we want to invest in? Those with higher VO2 max levels later in life have a decreased risk of all-cause mortality, meaning those who have higher VO2 max levels live longer, healthier lives. Those who have a low VO2 max, so on the lowest end of that scale, have a significantly higher risk of dying than those who have even below average VO2 max. So if we look at a chart, we've got these different lines, and the greatest risk of death later in life is for those who have the lowest VO2 max, like bottom 25%. When you jump up just to below average, so you're not even up to average yet, you're just below average, but you're not the lowest pool, you have a significantly higher risk of surviving. Meaning there is a huge jump in survival probability when you just do something. So it doesn't need to be drastic to have huge impacts. It's more about being consistent. From there, if we just go from below average to above average to high to elite, the differences are a little bit more marginal. You are still going to see increases in survival probability when you increase your VO2 max from below average to high to elite. But those changes are not as drastic as when you go from low VO2 max to just right below average. So not being sedentary and doing something consistently will put you on a significantly better trajectory than being sedentary. We all know that. I think most of you listening to this podcast are probably easily above average or even better VO2 max if you just strength train and walk. So I think most of us listening, if you're active and consistent with something at all, are falling in that, you know, above average line for sure. Not only is a better VO2 max linked to living longer, it's linked to living better. I think sometimes when we hear these things, we're like, yeah, I've got years and years and years. I don't have to worry about that till I'm in my 80s. But if you think about it, VO2 max is something that we want to start investing in early in life because it does tend to decline with age. As we age, things that were typically easy, like running across the street or quickly walking up a flight of stairs, start to become more difficult. If you've ever had a parent or a grandparent struggle to get up and down or walk up and down stairs, you know how difficult that can be to watch them. But then I picture myself as them. I'm like, that must be so difficult to feel like, oh, I used to just be able to run up the stairs, no problem. And now it's very challenging for me to just go up a flight of stairs. I'm really motivated by this because I want to stay as functional and fit for as long as I can. I really want to limit the physical detriments that aging will have on me if I don't do something about it. So to me, this is something that I want to invest in. I always say, I used to say this more, I've gone away from saying it, but I want to be able to do a cartwheel when I'm like 90. And that's going to take investing in training smarter right now, so that, because it's going to be a snowball effect as we get older, and it only gets harder as you get older. Muscle mass is also declining with age, which makes all the activities of daily life increasingly difficult as well. So investing in your VO2 max and your muscle mass at a young age will really help you live longer and live better. And it should be something that we're all prioritizing. Doesn't have to be overnight, does need to be sustained, can happen no matter how old you are. We can all do things right now to improve our muscle mass and our VO2 max. Muscle does take a little bit longer to develop. Muscle's a little harder to develop, which is why I'm always harping on the benefits of a gentle strength training routine that you can sustain, so you can slowly be progressing and adding muscle at a slow but steady rate every year. But the beauty of muscle is that it's harder to lose than VO2 max. So muscle will stick around longer than your VO2 max will. VO2 max, or these cardiovascular adaptations, are kind of easier come, easier go. The beauty is that you can start to add some HIIT training and you can see improvements in your VO2 max within a matter of a few weeks. And you'll see substantial improvements over a few months. But because VO2 max is easier come, easier go, you want to commit to a routine that you can stay consistent with, because as soon as you fall off, you're going to start to lose those adaptations. If you go too hard, too fast, which is what a lot of people end up doing, you'll crash and burn, and really that defeats the whole purpose. So start small if you are adding HIIT, maybe one 15-minute cardio burst class per week. We have a cardio burst class that Jill teaches on the membership once a week. We add a new one every single week. So maybe start there and just see how that feels alongside your hypertrophy routine. Even if you keep this one HIIT session for a long time, people are like, isn't that going to start to get too easy? Won't I start to add more? Or won't I start to have to add more in order to continue to get the adaptations? And the answer is yes and no. You can actually continue to progress your VO2 max within the same workout. So for example, you might feel like jump squats are something that she does a lot in that class. So, or like interval jump squats, like 30 seconds or whatever, like all out max effort jump squats. When you first start, you might feel like you can only do like 15. And then after a few weeks, you might feel like you could do 16, 17, and it might start to go up. You might start to feel like you can do more within the same period of time. And that is a way to progressively overload your VO2 max without actually adding more volume, without actually adding more HIIT sessions. So HIIT not only improves VO2 max, but it also improves metabolic flexibility, allowing us to use fat as fuel more readily. This is something I talked about in more detail in episode number 148, the first kind of zone two episode in this series. In short, that high intensity cardio training can have benefits for your cardiovascular health. It can have benefits for your longevity, for your metabolic health, for your body composition. And when I say body composition, I think people latch onto that a little bit too much, thinking that, oh, all I have to do is add a HIIT session and I'll lose weight. It doesn't necessarily work like that directly. The effects on body composition are more indirect through the changes in your metabolic flexibility. So again, go listen to that episode number 148 if you want to learn more about that. The downsides of this type of training are that of this zone four, zone five training, this high intensity interval training where you are breathless, you're puffing, you're working hard, you're doing some intervals. Maybe you are going all out for 30 seconds or a minute, resting for 30 seconds or a minute. There's lots of different ways to do it. I don't want to harp too much on like the perfect way to do zone four or zone five training. It's more about getting to that very uncomfortable cardio state. But the problem with this is that it's very uncomfortable. And most people don't push themselves hard enough to get to that true zone four, zone five state. Again, you should feel like, oh my gosh, this is my maximal effort. This is my sub-max effort. I can't do any more than this. But a lot of people just don't push themselves hard enough. Or again, they go to these long workouts and they spread out their effort and they end up landing more in zone three and maybe not getting the same metabolic benefits. Another downside of this higher intensity cardio is that it can be stressful on your body and it can be harder to recover from, especially if you're adding a lot. So if you are doing a hypertrophy routine, you have that cornerstone that I always talk about. You've got hypertrophy and you're walking and you're still struggling to recover because maybe you're not also working on the lifestyle pieces. You're not eating properly, fueling properly. Maybe you're not sleeping enough. It is not time to add HIIT. If you're like, listen, I'm struggling just to stay consistent with my hypertrophy and my walking, and I feel like I'm not getting those pieces in, maybe it's not time to add HIIT yet. Maybe just focus on those pieces, focus on eating a high protein diet, focus on sleeping enough, focus on stress, and you're going to see a lot better benefits from doing less than thinking about just adding more endlessly on top of a lifestyle piece that's already kind of struggling and suffering. Because HIIT might overload your system at that point and make the adaptations from your hypertrophy routine more difficult for your body to improve. So focus on nutrition, sleep, hypertrophy, and walking first. If you're hearing all this and convinced that you need to add HIIT, if you're feeling like you're missing out by not adding HIIT, you may not be missing out as much as you think. A meta-analysis showed that lifting, specifically circuit training, so circuit style training where you're going from one exercise to the other in supersets, have been shown to have significant impacts on VO2 max. Again, it's going to probably put you in that above average, maybe even higher VO2 max place, which is a great place to be. And this may be because you, with circuit training, where you're not really resting between exercises, you're utilizing your muscles to a high degree while stimulating your cardiovascular system because there isn't very much rest. You might notice that your heart rate stays elevated really the whole time versus a more traditional strength training routine where you may do an exercise and then rest for 3 minutes. And when you're resting, your heart rate comes all the way down. So your heart rate isn't staying up as much as it is when you're doing circuit training and you're going from one exercise to the other. So lifting can improve your VO2 max. However, it's probably not going to improve your VO2 max to the same extent that HIIT training does. So I just want to say that. However, it can be a great catch-all to improve mitochondrial efficiency. It can improve VO2 max and improve lean mass. So a good protocol that can be kind of a catch-all if time is a constraint to you or if you're struggling to recover is to do kind of lower load, high rep training, circuit style. Now, when I say lower load, high rep, I don't mean 100 reps with 2 pound weights doing arm circles just until you feel the burn. I'm talking about like 15, 20, 30-ish reps, no more than 30-ish reps taken close to failure. So on those last few reps, you feel like you're really struggling. You feel like your velocity decreases. So your speed decreases. You feel like you could not continue the movement. It's not just like, oh, this burns, this is hard, or like I'm bored, I'm going to stop. It's like, I am really struggling and my pace is slowing down. So doing that lower load, higher rep training circuit style in supersets. So like, let's say you superset your quad and your glute work. So you do like sissy squats for 20 reps taken close to failure. And then you do step ups for 20 reps taken close to failure. And then you go back to your sissy squats and you're kind of going from one exercise to the other without breaking can be a great way to improve your VO2 max, improve your muscle mass, improve your mitochondrial efficiency, and kind of be a really good catch-all. This is exactly how we program every workout in Evlo. And although I'm definitely not saying it's the only way, like I'm not saying Evlo is the only way, but it is a great method for kind of checking all the boxes and hitting a lot of these big buckets for the important things for health and longevity while minimizing overall stress on your body and being very sustainable. Now, at some point, if you've been an Evelyn member for a while, or if you've been at this hypertrophy routine for a while, you may get consistent and you may feel like, okay, I'm ready for more. I'm ready to add HIIT. And I recommend it if you have the capacity and you feel like your joints and your body can tolerate it. It's important that you do a few things. So number one, as we talked about, keep the sessions short, maybe 15 minutes or even less. We do have a 15-minute cardio burst class that includes warm-up and cool-down. So the actual work portion is maybe like 8 to 10 minutes. So it doesn't need to be long, but it does need to be max intensity. You're putting all of your effort in those periods of brief intensity. Keeping the intensity really high. Like I said, I think a lot of people don't push themselves hard enough, and getting to that max effort, or even thinking about, okay, I'm going to get to 110%, might make you land more around 100%. And then following those bursts of intensity, like jump squats or whatever you're doing, with active rest. Remember that during those brief, intense periods, you should not be able to talk. If you feel like you could say three words consecutively without taking a breath in between, you're probably in your zone three cardio. And then my third recommendation is just to start once a week and maybe work up to twice a week. Again, you can keep that once a week and progress within that same exact session. You do not need to do a lot in order to see the positive benefits. So that's HIIT. That is the benefits, the metabolic benefits and the cardiovascular benefits of high intensity interval training. And that is also, I wanted to talk about VO2 max because I wanted to talk about how lifting can really have benefits on VO2 max as well. If you do feel like you're like, I'm overwhelmed with how much I'm quote unquote supposed to do, you can do a lifting routine and walk and still really check a lot of those boxes. So what I want to do for the rest of this episode is summarize everything that we spoke about from the last three episodes. If you're lost, come back to me. I want to talk about kind of all of the last three episodes that we did, so you have some practical takeaways to apply. And I know this is a lot of information, so let's summarize it. We're going to start by discussing kind of each of the five cardio zones and how to integrate them. Zone one training. So you've got zone one, two, three, four, and five cardiovascular training. This is different from your strength training or your hypertrophy training. So zone one training is your bottom cardio zone. This is an easy walk. It is something where you could easily have a conversation. You could easily breathe in and out through your nose. You feel your heart rate elevated above resting, but it's something that you could sustain for hours. Like this is like the zone that you're in when you're like walking around Disney World. It's great to integrate this type of activity into your lifestyle because it keeps your energy expenditure high, it keeps your body moving, and it does have some benefits to your metabolic and your cardiovascular health. So adding zone one training is not useless into your life. I think of zone one training as being more a piece of your lifestyle, like just being more active overall, getting up, not being so sedentary throughout the day. Zone two cardio is one step up. This is still lighter intensity cardio where you can still nasal breathe. So you can breathe in and out through your nose. It's not at the intensity where you have to breathe in and out through your mouth, but it is, you are getting close to that. You're kind of flirting with that line where you feel like, okay, I'm getting to the point where I might have to start breathing in and out through my mouth. This type of cardio can be great for all people because it improves cardiovascular health. It improves mitochondrial efficiency and metabolic flexibility. This metabolic flexibility is associated with longevity and decelerated aging. Again, things that I talked about in episode number 148. But the problem with zone two cardio is that it may be really time consuming. How a lot of doctors and researchers and health optimization experts are recommending doing zone two cardio is 3 1-hour sessions per week or 4 45-minute sessions per week. And they're saying that that is the minimum dosage that you need in order to get the benefits of zone two cardio. So if that's the minimum, that's a lot, right? Zone two cardio is a brisk walk or a jog or an easy bike ride, something that you can sustain for a long period of time. But that's a lot. And it has to be done, according to them, it has to be done consecutively for those 45 minutes or for that hour-long session. So if you're doing that and you're doing a hypertrophy routine, for some people, it's like, yeah, easy. I go play tennis for an hour and that gets me in my zone too. And I do that a couple times a week, or I am a jogger, or I walk hills and that gets me in my zone too. Easy. For some people like me, it's a little harder to add that much zone two into my week. And I also think that this whole idea that it has to be 45 minutes or 60 minutes long in order to see the metabolic benefits, I think that has yet to be validated by research. So I want to take that with a grain of salt until we know for sure. Like, yes, you have to get these 3 or 4 45-minute or one-hour sessions in order to see benefits. So that's zone two cardio. And then we've got zone three. Zone three is where you have to start to breathe in and out through your mouth. You can still talk, but you have to pause every few words. This has been called like kind of no man's land by some experts because it's training that's harder on your system, but it might not have the same metabolic benefits as zone two since it uses a different fuel source. This type of training can be sustainable for long periods, and this type of training is typically where group fitness classes will leave you. Then we've got zone four or zone five cardio, which can be beneficial because it stimulates type two muscle fibers, which are your larger, more powerful muscle fibers that we tend to lose as we age, and it can improve VO2 max. It can only be sustained for short periods of time. So zone four, maybe a few minutes maximum, and then zone five, maybe under a minute. For some people, like 30 seconds is as long as they can sustain zone five cardio. So those are the five cardio zones. Let's talk about an ideal or optimal training week. An ideal, quote unquote, training week. And I say ideal because it's going to be so different for every single person. If you're not recovering, then it's not ideal. But an ideal training week would be 3 60-minute zone two cardio workouts. So like an easy bike ride or an easy jog or a brisk walk or a hike or play tennis or swim or dance, whatever it is that's getting your heart rate up, but still allowing you to nasal breathe. So 3 60-minute zone two workouts, a hypertrophy routine where you're working each muscle group 1 to 2 times per week, 4 hard sets per muscle group minimum, and then 1 15-to-20-minute HIIT session per week. So that would be an ideal training week. If you're an Evelyn member and this is something that you want to do, here's my suggestion. You could take any of our tracks, so the 3, 4, or 5 time per week schedule, jog or bike or fast walk or whatever zone two cardio you want to do 3 times per week, and then add our 15-minute cardio burst class once a week. This is quite a bit of exercise. Again, if you're overwhelmed, I am not doing this in my routine. If you're overwhelmed by this, you do not have to do this in order to see great health benefits. It is not all or nothing. I think that a lot of us have become so inundated with like what is quote unquote optimal that we end up just running our bodies into the ground or we end up doing nothing because it's so overwhelming. So please don't get bogged down and I have to do this protocol perfectly. Just make sure that you're adding things that you can recover from. If you aren't recovering and you can't fit it into your life, it's really just not going to have the same effect. You also should not feel constantly sore, constantly broken down. You shouldn't feel like your limbs are heavy, like you're getting sick all the time, you're feeling weaker. Those are indications that you're not allowing your body to recover and you're going to see negative results because you're overstressing your body. And I think this is a big missing piece of the conversation in this kind of health optimization field. I do not personally do this routine where I'm also 8 months pregnant, but I think even after I'm pregnant and I'm a mom, it's just a lot. And I don't know if I'm going to be at a place where I will be able to add in all of this exercise. I know for sure I'll continue to do the 5 times per week Evlo schedule. I might add in HIIT again, but zone two cardio for 3 times per week for 60 minutes, I just don't see myself adding that or being able to have a lifestyle where I can sustain that type, all of that type of routine. So I just want to give you permission. Again, I know I feel like a broken record a little bit, but I just want to give you permission that less can be more and it doesn't need to be all or nothing. Also remember that nutrition is key with any type of routine, but specifically if you're adding a lot of exercise, you have to be fueling properly. If you are under eating, if you're not eating enough protein, your body will quickly break down. So one resource that I have for you, if you're an Evlo member, is to check out the body recomposition guide that Sosa, one of our registered dietitians, created. Even if body recomposition isn't your goal, body recomposition means losing fat and gaining muscle at the same time. She teaches you how to calculate your maintenance calories and how to calculate your protein, which will be key for you to recover properly and actually see the benefits from all this work that you're putting in. And finally, just to reiterate, we want to make sure that a hypertrophy routine and a walking routine and a focus on nutrition really is the cornerstone before we're adding really anything else. And then finally, one last thing to reiterate is that your body has the answers. I'm not going to know the perfect routine for you, and neither will any other health optimization expert out there unless they're really working with you one-on-one and running all these tests on you. But your body has the answers. And whenever I do podcasts like this, or Instagram posts, I get a lot of questions about, like, should I do this or should I add that? Or I want to add this. How do I add this into my routine and then also do Evlo? Or like, I want to do all these things and how should I do this? And it's hard for me to truly answer that because your body is going to respond differently. And it depends on your lifestyle. It depends on how you're sleeping, how you're eating, all of these things, what you've done typically, what state is your body in currently. So it really has to come down to you experimenting with your own routine. I think a lot of times we look to experts to give us the answers before we've done the work at trying something and seeing how it fits into our own bodies. I think, you know, a lot of times we have the pressure to be optimal or perfect, which is just not how it works. What might be optimal for someone who has no kids and a low stress job and can recover from lots of exercise may be very different than the same routine with a busy mom who is working and stressed out and she's not sleeping well and she has no time for herself. It's truly as simple as just trying something, seeing how your body responds. If you feel achy, if your joints hurt, if you feel like you aren't recovering, it's time to change something. It isn't all or nothing. Experiment, play, see yourself as your own little science experiment, and it will be ever evolving, which is kind of the fun of it. So you've got this. Hopefully these episodes were informative. Next week, we've got a brand new topic for you. So we're getting off this cardio topic, but I hope that these three episodes make you feel more confident around your cardiovascular routine. We will see you all next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.